Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome to Tax Tuesday. This is Toby Mathis.
Jeff Webb.
And you got St. Patrick's Day edition. We got a lot of us are, we're not really quarantined in here, but
yeah.
I know a lot of folks are doing that right now. So first off, I hope you guys are all doing great. And if you have anybody out there that's living by themselves, older, just reach out to them periodically. It's gotta be tough,
right?
Especially if you're isolating yourself. Although I was pretty sure that I figured out what the cure was for this thing.
And that was?
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
Yeah. Must be. It's all gone. All right. So let's not go on that. It is St. Patrick's Day. And so I'm going to dress Jeff up here. Jeff, I've learned how to use the computer, and it's not necessarily a good thing. You look good. You look good. Top of the morning to you.
I need my shillelagh.
All right. Hey, this is fun, fast, and educational. There are some things that we want to go over specifically with the coronavirus, COVID-19, and there are going to be some things that are going to pop up, that are going to come up, that are definitely going to impact you. So I want to kind of go over those. So let's just jump right on in. There were some things today, and this is for somebody who's listening to this on the podcast. Obviously, some things will probably have changed by the time I record this and get it out versus what's actually going on. The first one is a 90-day grace period on the payment of tax. It's not about a extension. This is your taxes are due on April 15th. Your tax return technically is not due until October 15th on the individual side. That is because the early due date is April 15th, but you have an automatic extension. In other words, you have by right another 6 months, which will put you into October. So what they did is they did not change the due date. You still have to file an extension. What they said is that if you have tax liability as an individual of less than $1 million, that you don't have to pay penalties and interest until you go beyond July 15th. If you're a business, then you owe less than $10 million, then you have, for whatever the due date is, you'd have an extra 90 days. Did they just give you 90 days, even if you're not due, or is it only for those people that are due on April 15th?
Well, yeah, it's just an extension of time to pay your taxes. So if you're getting a refund, of course, you want to get your return in as early as possible.
Yep. If you're, yeah. So, and that's what he, that's actually what he said, mentioned. So obviously said, all you have to do is file your taxes. You'll automatically not get charged interest and penalties. We encourage those Americans who can file their taxes to continue to file on April 15th, because for many, you'll get refunds and you don't want to lose out on those refunds. It's not that you'll lose the refund. It's that you may as well get the money now and expect that you're going to be happy that you have some cash in your pocket. Like, this is a crazy market and there's a lot of things going on. Here we go. There's the 90-day grace. We just went over Family First Act, which is not passed yet. It's been passed by the House, but there's lots of problems in it. Some sneaky politician stuff, some major mistakes. They call them technical corrections, just call them mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that they're really trying to address is Family Medical Leave Act stuff, giving you 2/3 of pay over 10 weeks if you're required to use family medical leave. If you're tested or treated for coronavirus, you can get up to 2/3 of pay, up to $511 a day. And if you're full-time, you get 80 hours, up to 80 hours, which means 2 weeks. Or if you're part-time and you're working 20 hours a week, for example, it would be 40 hours. So it'd be whatever your weekly is. Then somebody says no benefit to the self-employed. No, in fact, they're punishing the self-employed, which is why the Senate is still looking at this thing, because this is a hell of a thing to put on somebody when you just had your revenue cut, you're dealing with staff being sick, and now you're being told, great, you get to pay for it. Because Family Medical Leave Act is typically unpaid leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to pay for it. And they're talking about giving you a tax credit for that. But originally they just said, let's just burden the small business, because after all, let's kick somebody when they're down. And it's just politicians being stupid. But it seems like somebody's caught it, and at least it didn't pass the Senate. There's somebody's actually reading it before they actually pass it. If an employee has to go home to care for somebody or for kids that are where their school is shut down, they get up to $200 a day, up to $10,000 in aggregate. And then this is for employers with less than 500 employees. So this is really hitting the little guy. The bigger guys, I don't know why they didn't get. Do you have any idea why they're not forcing them to do this?
I really don't know. I guess it's because they already have certain laws in place. I don't have a good idea.
Yeah. A question that just came through says, I'm 70 and a half, so I cannot contribute to my IRA anymore. Well, that just changed. You now can. So the Secure Act changed that, so you can do it. We have a QRP in our S-Corp that has not been funded yet. Can I contribute through this S-Corp after 70 and a half? Yes, you can contribute to any retirement plan now after 70 and a half. They took away that rule. So the Secure Act was passed at the very end of the year, Lee. So congratulations. You get a little bonus. So yeah, you can cut your taxes back. So I love the QRPs. The only thing you can't do in a QRP is the employee deferral, but you can do up to 25% of your wages. You can contribute that all the way up until you file your tax return and the business tax return. So you up until about, usually it's September 15th if it's an S-Corp. So somebody asked a question. I'm just making sure I didn't skip anybody. Somebody says they're going to ask me a question. We got a whole bunch, but we'll just jump right on in.
So this 90-day grace period is expected to put $200 billion back into the economy over the next 90 days. Of course, that money's all going to have to be paid after 90 days back to the government.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Right. The Families First bill, I think right now the cost is right around $1 trillion with a T. So a lot of money going through this sucker.
Yeah. What are they doing with it?
Well, one of the big holdups is they want the payroll.
I want the payroll holiday.
And the argument against doing that is, well, all these people, like we have a number of people furloughed in Las Vegas, that won't help those people.
No, but if you do this and you're getting somebody, well, what they really need to do is boost up the unemployment for people that are going to be laid off from this. They need to, I am fine with the Family Medical Leave Act. If we get a credit for it, you're just going to put a short-term burden onto the employer.
Right.
So I wouldn't beat the heck out of the employer. And what they're doing is they're loosening up the money from the SBA. But I've never seen that happen fast. I've never seen an SBA loan go fast. So it's just kind of nutty. All right. Enough on that. So just keep posted. We're going to post this stuff out on social media as it comes in. Frankly, the news media is all over this. You're probably going to hear about it within 5 minutes. While the president was giving his task force were giving their comments today, I'm part of listservs, and there's accountants emailing all accountants. I'm emailing my accountants like, hey, he just said this. You know, everybody, you're going to get it quick. So I don't see this stuff as being secret, unlike the Secure Act, which kind of passed through unnoticed. All right. Opening questions, and we have a whole bunch of stuff. In Florida, Series LLCs are not recognized for real estate investments. Actually, they're just not recognized. Do you have any suggestions for alternate entity organizations? Yeah, we'll go over that. If I get while owning a property in an LLC, if I get married while owning a property in an LLC, look at me. How did I lose that word? It must just be bad today. Yeah, I'm just going to write that in there. So if I get married... Hopefully, I didn't make that mistake twice. While owning a property in LLC, will my new married spouse also be protected under the same LLC? If I purchase a business from someone, how does the entity transfer over? What actions would I need to make, if any, to do this? Can I submit a 1065? That's the partnership form for my small business myself. The business started in 2019, and we don't really have money for a CPA. I always think of people that get put in jail for that. Whenever I see it, I don't have the money for it. Nobody sits in jail because they don't have bail. if something's important, don't tell me, you have a phone, you probably have 6 TVs in your house, and probably from what's been going on, 36 rolls of toilet paper. You have money for things that you think are important. I'm just teasing. A C-Corp with multiple LLCs only files one tax return. Can this pierce the corporate veil when we must give the corporate return to the lender for the LLC credit applications? Good question. Do you need separate bank accounts for Series LLCs in Illinois? Can I deduct the expenses for the startup costs and education for a 501c3 that I created in 2019 as a charitable donation? Great question. Love stuff like that. Can a realtor write off realtor fees and classes that must be taken? How do you record the money due between companies on the company's books? So I'm assuming that there's company A, company B, and the company A owes company B. Maybe company B owes company A. Yeah. I don't know. I have two LLCs and a parent LLC taxes a C-Corp that owns them. How do I roll up the income expenses for each LLC to the 1120? It's almost the same question as that other one, but they were completely different people. I was kind of shocked. If I hire a property management company to collect funds from my tenants and they disperse the rents to me, are they required to send me a 1099? Can independent contractors have the same deductions as an LLC? Or is it better to create an entity? I'm a fitness trainer. So some of you guys already know what the answer is. We're not necessarily going to make fun of somebody, but we're probably going to make fun of somebody. Do contract labor and whole materials such as cabinets, vanity, lighting, tile go to cost of goods sold on a 1065? And if I sell a house for profit, can I put the profit into another rental without paying taxes? Great questions. Now, I'm going to switch gears here just for a second to annoy the heck out of you guys. No, actually, this is really important. So give me your attention just for a second, because we've watched the stock market do crazy stuff. And there's a lot of y'all who are going to, like, some people are in pain, not everybody, but some people know people that lost big chunks of their wealth and they're not feeling so good right now. So we had a partner here who's out since left our firm, but it's still a great member of our team, still goes out there and works with us because he wanted to do financial planning only. His name was Greg Boots, and he wrote a book called The Private Vault. You call it Anderson's Guide to Creating Your Private Vault. Now, here is the deal. If you were invested the way Greg had talked to you and the way that we advocate here, you would not have lost a dollar in this market. In other words, the type of investment vehicles he uses cannot go below zero. This is why you do that. The last couple of years, we've had everybody saying, well, the market's going up, the market's going up. It's like, it's not about that. It's when the market goes down, you want to make sure that you're not stuck. And particular types of investments you can do that do not subject you to the loss, and you still get the upside. Now, your upside is capped, and it's usually between 11 and 13%. So like if the market's up 30%, you're going to get a chunk of it. But if the market's down 30%, you're going to get none of that negativity. You're going to be at zero. And so I'd strongly recommend that you look at this book. To give you an incentive to do it, we're giving you $20 off. Now, these books are like $24, and it includes the shipping. So what we did is we're just going to give you a coupon code, this little one down here, this PV2020, and it's $20 off. So that's going to give you $20 off. So you're just going to, it's going to end up being like $4.95 for a hardbound book shipped to you. Feel free to grab it. I had the link there on the other page right there, shop@andersonadvisors.com or shop.andersonadvisors.com. This little guy right over here. If you feel like grabbing it, grab it. We got them in the warehouse. We can ship them out to you. And really, it's for those folks that want to make sure that they don't ride this roller coaster. Somebody says, I have an IUL. The process is super easy. That's one of the vehicles you can certainly use. It's what we do here, and we advocate to our clients. Absolutely. Anyway, let's move on to the questions. In Florida, series LLCs are not recognized for real estate investments. Do you have any suggestions for alternate entity organization? Do you feel like jumping on this?
Nope.
Somebody's ribbing me. Yeah, my new book is out. The tax-wise, we're supposed to have it any day into our warehouse. We'll ship about as soon as we get it. The printer, and this is just blind loyalty, had their print machine, like one of their big pieces of equipment, go down. He's like, oh, it's going to be delayed. But I chose to stick with the guy we've been working with for 20 years as opposed to switching over something like that.
Nice.
They didn't have much control over it. So yeah, we're a little delayed, but it's there. And yeah, you can absolutely get a copy of the electronic version. Somebody's asking. Yes. Somebody says, what's the code? Go back. It's PV2020. Yeah, we're trying to do it for free. I just, like, you guys can pay the shipping. It ends up being $3 or $4 anyway. So I said, hey, just make it, the shipping's included. So it's $4.95. That includes shipping. So we're just trying not to lose money on it.
So what do you think about an alternative entity organization?
I think that series LLCs have not been around very long. They exist in about 14 different states, and they're not my favorite. Now, there's a lot of attorneys out there that love them, but I said, you haven't really been tested. In Florida, for example, you had the Olmstead case where they pierced a single owner LLC. They allowed somebody to come in and take it for a husband and wife. That they consider that a single owner LLC. So I tend to like tried and true. I like my structuring. And the way that I would structure it, there's actually two choices you have. Choice number one, I love series LLCs, and I'm in a state that has them, and I have a bunch of Florida property. What you can do is set up the series LLC in your home state and for the Florida property. So let's say you're in Texas, and a series LLC is a fancy way of saying I have a master, we'll just call this a master, and then I have little cells. And these little cells, let's say the master is 123 LLC, then I would just say cell one of 123 LLC. Like I just create cells and I don't have to file them with the Secretary of State. So the idea, God, my handwriting sucks. The idea is that you're not spending money on Secretary of State fees, but I want you to have the protection of the entity. And the only way I know I'm going to get protection is if I'm paying Luca to protect me. And the Secretary of State is Luca. And I say Luca just because I like Godfather. But I'm looking at this stuff going, I want somebody who's bigger than me to protect me. And if I'm not paying somebody, I don't know if I'm going to get the protection. So I tend to really believe in filed LLCs. There's lots of other stuff out there that you could try, but this is what I would use. Now, in Florida, they have land trusts. So I probably put the property in a land trust and transfer the beneficial interest into one of the series outside of the state if I felt like it. Or cells in Florida are considered separate LLCs. I would just register each one as a foreign LLC doing business in the state of Florida. Or just to make it easier, I would just say, hey, if I have property one, let's just say real estate one, real estate two, and real estate three, I would stick those each in an LLC. And more likely than not, I'm going to have a Wyoming holding company LLC just holding all three, filing a partnership return. And the reason I do that is because nobody can take that Wyoming LLC away from you. It's really tough. And it protects each piece of property from the other property. And I know how this is going to be treated. I don't have to guess. The series, it's still a bit of a guesswork because we don't have a lot of cases that have gone up to the Supreme Court and we haven't seen it get cracked. And a lot of people screw them up. And good luck banking with the series LLC. So everybody that loves series LLCs right now is probably hating on me. But I'm just saying, in all reality, it's really tough. It's tough to open bank accounts for the cells. They're really easy to do, and you still have bookkeeping requirements on them, and they're really easy to screw up. Like even in Texas, there's a prerequisite to having it be enforced, and that is that you have to set up and keep separate books. So it's really easy to pierce one. I just say, let me see your books and records. If you don't give them over, I'm like, boom, you're toast. So I tend to like the try and true. What difference would it make to have a Wyoming entity as a regular corporation? It makes a difference, Elizabeth, just because the statutes aren't the same for corporations versus LLCs in the state. In Nevada, they actually have statutory protections for shareholders of corporations, too, but it's the only one. The other thing is I could set up an LLC and have it taxed as a corporation. I don't need to be a regular corporation, so I can get the best of both worlds. Do you provide registered agent service in Wyoming to set up, maintain entities based there? Absolutely, John. Not only do we have the registered agent business, but you have to have a physical office. And it can't be a bare office. They actually say an office with one person with a desk is not enough. You actually have to have a commercial office there. So the way the Supreme Court said is if I walked in, what I think this is a place of business. So we use and maintain a office with conference rooms that you can use. Mm-hmm. And if you're using that, you have access to all of them. We have Washington and Nevada as well. Somebody says, do you have to register Wyoming LLC in California? It depends on whether that Wyoming LLC is doing business in California. Somebody else asked, does Maryland allow land trust? All states have land trusts. We have very few states that have statutes, but they all recognize it under something called common law. Somebody says, hey, did you go over the stimulus? Yes, that was the first thing we did. But what we can do is you'll have the recording of this tomorrow. You can absolutely listen to it. Let's see other questions. I am mentoring a client who's owner of a 129-unit Class C property secured by a Freddie Mae loan, which prohibits any additional lien other than theirs. The client would like to take advantage of the SBA emergency loan, let's say, for at least $350,000. Any suggestions? Yeah. Freddie, as long as they're in first position, they're usually not going to scream about it. And if you are in need of the cash and you're just going to pledge it as additional collateral, I would just be really honest with them and see whether they have any intent. My belief is that SBA is guaranteeing that, and that chances are they're not going to have a cow about it. That's a technical term. They're not going to be too upset about it. Where did that come from? All right. We've been trying to get checking accounts for our newly formed LLC, Holding Corp and C Corp. Bank is telling us that we be shown as 50-50 owners plus the LLC be shown in the corporate minutes. Should we just be looking to another bank? Any suggestions? Okay, Michael. So what they're talking about is they want to see you own 50-50 owners. That's actually in the LLC
agreement,
operating agreement, not on a Secretary of State's website, in fact. So you can just show them. And the Bank Secrecy Act prevents banks from sharing all that information. It's not a public record. So it doesn't mean you have to switch the bank. It just means that you have to give them the documents, that the right document that they want to see. And it's not a big deal to make minutes. So if you need any help, if it's something that we're working with you on, just reach out to Patty or to Susan and they'll help you out. We set these things up all the time. We've done over 50,000 bank setups and all that stuff. So it's learned a few things over the last few decades. All right. Can I contribute to my solar 401k by transferring from my regular or Roth IRA, or do I have to pick what to contribute to? Danielle, you can absolutely roll a traditional IRA into a solo 401k. You cannot roll a Roth IRA into a Roth 401k. You can roll a Roth 401k into a Roth IRA. So this is going to be the weird one. Just know that a Roth IRA is an endpoint, and it sits there. Here's another one. I have an LP trading in the stock market that has generated substantial losses over the past several years. This year, I'm on track to make up for all the past year losses. Do the past year losses carry over and apply? And the answer is, it's passive loss carry forward. Absolutely. Right. You're not going to pay tax. So congratulations on kicking butt. You're not going to have to pay tax on it. So congratulations. That's why we carry forward our losses. Somebody says the Federal Reserve is adding another program to aid lending to businesses and households. Absolutely. Let me just jump into more questions. You guys are asking lots of questions. And we have all these other questions to answer. I'll just get lost. And I'll ignore poor Jeff here. If I get married, look at that. How did the married get done? I must have done that subconsciously. This is horrible.
I kind of like if I get while owning property.
If I get married while owning a property in an LLC, will my new married spouse also be protected under the same LLC? What do you think, Jeff?
Well, the LLC is actually not protecting you and your spouse so much as it's protecting that property that's in the LLC. It does protect you from anything that happens with that property, but it's, I wouldn't say that it necessarily protects the spouse also.
So here's the thing. You're absolutely right. Inside liability, we don't care about. So there's a piece of real estate in an LLC and somebody trips down the stairs, they're going to sell the LLC. It's going to protect you and your new spouse. Really, that's what we care about. It's like they're going to say, hey, who's the owner? Well, it protects anybody that's the owner. Now, if you own it, depending on the state that you got married in, you're either in a community property state or a separate property state.
Right.
If you are in a community property state, then there's the increase in value that your new spouse would immediately start to generate based on the increase in value of that LLC. So the LLC would give you them the same protection. Somebody coming after them would say, oh, you have an interest now in this LLC, and it's the same protections you would have. So yes, they would be protected. You would also be protected. And I guess the answer is, to the extent that there are statutory protections, you can anticipate that both spouses would end up with a certain degree. To the extent that you're in a separate property state, it's yours, so they don't even own any piece of it. So if somebody goes after the new spouse for something, it's not like they own the LLC. You'd say, hey, it's my separate property. To the extent something happens in the LLC, it stays in the LLC.
Right.
Yeah, exciting.
It is.
All right. And let me see if anybody asked questions on that. You guys are blasting us again with lots of questions. Let's see if anybody asked about this one. Nope. Look at all this fun stuff. All right. If I this is probably my favorite question out of all of them, not to be completely out there, but I love questions about buying and selling businesses for some reason. Because I've done a bunch of them. I just think it's fascinating how weird the tax laws are. All right. If I purchase a business from someone, how does the entity transfer over? What actions would I need to make, if any, to do this?
Well, there's two types of business purchases. There's a stock purchase, if they do have stock, if it's a corporation, or there's an asset purchase. Now, normally, if you're the seller, you want to do a stock purchase because it releases you of liability and everything. The business, you're handing the entire business over.
And more importantly,
yeah.
How is it taxed?
Oh, it's taxed as capital gains or losses. It's a capital transaction.
Which means if I've owned it for more than a year, I'm either in the 0, 15, or 20% tax rate.
Correct.
Or a combination thereof.
Now, if it's an asset sale, it's exactly what you're hearing. You're buying the assets of that company.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, and you correct me on this, you sign over what documents you're buying, how much you're or what assets you're buying, and how much you're paying for them.
Yep. So let's say I have ABC LLC and it runs a dog grooming business. And in the last 6 months, man, I keep dropping the Lhasa Apso's. That just came over me. That's horrible. So I'm dropping a lot of Lhasa and people are mad because their dogs are getting injured. And I say, I'm going to sell it to Jeff. And I sell it. What did I say it was? ABC LLC. Mm-hmm. And I sell them ABC LLC. ABC LLC still exists. It still has all the liability for me dropping the Lhasa Apso's all over the place. My mom had a Lhasa Apso growing up. And it
did you drop it?
I never dropped. I should have. But she would bite my fingers. She was just one of those dogs that if she saw a finger, that it was like, it may as well be a dog. So I got some issues to work out. But anyway, so the liability stays with that LLC. So I buy the LLC. So when I sell Jeff the LLC, let's say I've owned this dog business for years, this, I'll call it doggy daycare. That's even no more grooming. We're in doggy daycare. They do really well, by the way. Let's say I have basis in it, whatever I put into it of $1,000, now it's worth $100,000. That $100,000 is going to be taxed at my ordinary rate. Excuse me, not my ordinary rate. It's based off my tax bracket. It's going to be either 0, 15% or 20%. So the maximum I would pay on that $100,000 is 20%.
Right.
Federal income tax. There might be some state income tax. Then you also have the net investment income tax. We don't get into all of it. But for federal taxes, I have long-term capital gains. Now, let's say instead of doing that, I sell Jeff all of my assets in the location. So ABC LLC sells Jeff. Here's my customer list. Here's my trademarks. Here's my all the cages and
the
everything.
Kennels.
Yeah, the kennels. I said cages. That sounds horrible. We're dogs, but they're play areas and everything. I sell them all that. A bunch of, what are those, fire hydrants. I sell them all. And I sell them for $100,000. That's income to me as ABC LLC, and that's going to be ordinary income more likely than not. It's going to be dependent on the asset that I sold. So if I sell certain capital assets, it's going to be long-term. But for the most part, like, for example, if I sold my intellectual property, that's going to be ordinary income to me.
Right.
And I still have the liability of dropping all the Lhasa Apso's. So those are two very different transactions. And if you're buying and selling a business, if you're the seller, you want to sell ABC LLC. You want to do that. If you are the buyer, if I buy Microsoft stock, I can't deduct it. If I buy the stock, the company ABC LLC, I can't deduct it.
Right.
But if I buy the assets of ABC LLC, yes, I can deduct those. I can depreciate them.
Yep.
Customer lists are like 15-year property. The other assets I can rewrite off. And it's up to our list. So there becomes a very, very different transaction, extremely different transaction. Now, there is one little nuance. I can treat the sale of an S-corp. I think it's an S-corp only. I know it's the buyer has to be an escort, but if I sell ABC LLC to Jeff and we elect a 338 H, I want to say 10 or H8.
No, I think it's H10.
H10. So 338 H10 election. he can treat it as an asset purchase, and I have to treat it as an asset purchase for tax purposes.
Correct.
But from a liability standpoint, he gets ABC LLC, and that's so much cleaner. So if I'm telling you what's the easiest, it's a stock purchase agreement. That's the easiest.
But if I'm buying your ABC mm-hmm. and I'm buying the LLC, mm-hmm. I'm now responsible for all them dropped
loss obstacles. You better factor it in. That's why you always ask, are there any known or liabilities? And you might want to have a holdback. You might want to have an indemnification agreement. You may hey, I knew I dropped the dog, but what if I'm not there every day and I don't know that we have an issue and everybody's concealed it and Jeff buys it and all of a sudden we're in deep doo-doo, no pun intended. And I'm like, poor Jeff is sitting there like, hey, I didn't know that you had horrible employees. You just, that's part of the contingent. Or let's say that I sell the assets to Jeff and he takes over my lease, but he sublets the lease and then Jeff keels over. You know, a month into it, he's so stressed from all these dogs and he has a heart attack and he's disabled or he passes away. Those are things that we actually have to mitigate. And so I always say, like, if you're going to sublet a property, get the person who's subletting it from you to get term life insurance. Just, you know, even if you have to pay the coverage, just do it so that if something happens to them, you're not worried about them making payment because you're still on the hook.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
Let's see. Somebody, there's a whole bunch of questions. Somebody says, oh, there's Chris from Minnesota. I guess it's not as bad as I thought. All right, cool. I'm just going to jump back into more questions. There's probably about 20 questions waiting for us, but not anything on this one. Somebody's making fun of Lhasa Apso's. Also, they kind of look like a Shih Tzu. Yeah, let's see. I've had both. Lhasas have a much different temper. Can I submit a 1065 form for my small business myself? That's a partnership, guys. The business started in 2019, and we really don't have money for a CPA.
You absolutely can submit a 1065 for your small business. I wouldn't necessarily suggest it. While you may not want to go to a CPA or may not be able to afford a CPA, there's certainly somebody out there who can do a decent job on your tax returns. Just to keep from falling in some of these pitfalls about preparing your return.
How much is the penalty for failing to file a 1065 on time?
That is $205 per month per partner.
So just make sure that you're getting, please make sure that you're getting an extension. You get an automatic extension. Is it 6 months or 5 months now?
It is 6 months, so September 15th.
September 15th. So please make sure. We're already past the deadline.
Yes, deadline was yesterday.
So you're toast. That's why you should have used a CPA. Dang it. No, I would say, like, if you haven't done much business, you want to capture your startup expenses. If you don't have any startup expenses, you literally just set something up online and, you know, it was like $200 or something cheapy, you don't have any documents, then you just file a no activity return at a worst. You just don't want the penalties. Somebody says, if I start an LLC in late 2019 with no revenue, can I file business taxes this year? It depends on the type of business. That LLC, and you guys hear me say this probably every few weeks, an LLC is not a tax treatment. So an LLC is either going to be disregarded, ignored for tax purposes. So the owner will pay the tax. An LLC will be a partnership if there's two or more, or an S Corp, C Corp, potentially even a trust, depending. But an LLC, the IRS doesn't know what that is. They just go, say, LLC. You say, mumbling. Don't know what it is. So we have to tell it what it is.
So yeah, if you created your LLC on December 31st and said it was a corporation or S corporation, you have a filing requirement. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true if it's a partnership or a disregarded entity.
Mm-hmm. So again, so if he has a 1065, he's definitely in the category of a partnership.
Yeah.
Partnerships are probably the most difficult entity to file as far as complexity. Sounds weird, but way more than a corporation. Am I speaking out of like?
No, they got that weird combination of flexibility that makes things even worse.
Mm-hmm. And let's go back to poor Bernard, because I don't want to leave him hanging. If he filed it late 2019 and really didn't do anything, are we going to file a 2019? Or are we just going to file the 2020?
If he had a 2019 and if it was a partnership and he had no activity,
then it really,
I wouldn't file a return, period.
Yeah.
And I would declare 2020 my first year.
Yep. You hear that, Bernard? I wouldn't be filing anything if you didn't have any activity, especially if you didn't have a bank account or anything like that. And it's disregarded single member. You don't have to worry about it at all. We just solved it for you. You don't have to file a tax return, with the possible exception of your state. Like if you're in California, then they just love you to death by charging you lots and lots of money. Here's a question from online. If I have more than one property in an LLC, is it better to create another LLC and transfer one of the properties into a different LLC? Mina, that's a great question. And the answer is maybe. And I'm not even going to say it depends. It's going to be a big maybe because it depends on your risk tolerance. If you have $2 million properties that you own outright, don't put them in the same LLC. If I have two $40,000 properties that it would cost more to foreclose on them than they're worth, then I might put them in the same LLC. So the best practice is one property, one LLC, and the answer would be yes. But if you have little, I always call them crappy homes, but gosh, I don't want to offend people. I have a lot of little homes all over the place, like in North Carolina, Indianapolis area, Houston, and some things where they're not the most expensive. It's some one of those weird things. Somebody says bank is threatening to close my account in the name of the LLC. Olga, reach out to Patty. That's just depending on who the bank is. They're looking at the address. And sometimes banks do stupid things. All right. I have a C Corp that sponsors a solo 401k, which is a great thing. All investments are made using the funds in the 401k. How long can the C Corp operate with no income or losses without causing audits or other problems? Forever. Like, you don't even need the C Corp to continue that 401k, by the way. Right. It's just if you're adding more funds into the 401k, you'd have to have the C Corp. But once you sponsor the 401k and get it going, you're good. Somebody else asked a follow-up on that LLC question. Are there tax consequences to moving from one LLC to the other? Well, if it's just disregarded or partnerships, no. If they're LLCs taxed as corporations, that could be. So we always just want to look at it. But if you're going one LLC, let's say you own the LLC or it's in a holding company and it goes one LLC to the other, there's no tax consequence. Let's see. Is there a thing about members associated with the LLC in the original startup? I don't know what that means, but no. Depending on who you're dealing with as a bank, they're going to have different rules. Some want to look at the Secretary of State, but like the Secretary of State doesn't really tell us anything. I can just put organizer in most states. So it doesn't tell us who the owners are, and the owners are a public record in most states. They may look at your business license, like in the state of Washington, it might be something like that. Or if it's owned by another entity, there's no way they're going to be able to see that in a Secretary of State filing. So they're usually going to ask you, who are the owners? We need documents from all the owners signing on, agreeing to open up this account. Usually it's in the form of a minute, a resolution, and who can transact business.
I have seen where they have issues where if you're using the address of like a UPS store or any other mass mailbox, they're going to have issue that is not a physical address for the business.
And that's what Olga was just looking at. And that is because you have too many names of entities at a non-physical address. They want to see that it's a separate business location, a commercial location. I have an LLC registered in Texas and will I be operating in Texas? Is it at risk exposure? Should I create another LLC? So, Amy, no, the LLC is designed to work. Texas is actually a really good state, and it depends on whether you're looking at inside or outside liability. If I have a rental property, the LLC will keep that property off of you. You pay the state and you keep good books and records, you're going to be fine. The issue is when they sue you, you're driving down the road and you cause a car accident and they start trying to take your LLC away. That's when we like to put a second layer, depending on how many assets you have and what your risk tolerance is, we'll oftentimes put a second layer out of state so the local judge can't just make a decision and do something silly just to teach you a lesson. We take it outside of their reach and put it into another state. Can you still convert a 401k to a Roth this year? Yeah, you can move the 401k assets, if it's in a Roth 401k, into a Roth at any time. Let's keep going over. I'm being lots of questions online, and I'm answering all those. So let's skip through them. All right, a C corp with multiple LLCs only files one tax return. All right, that's if the LLCs are all owned 100% by the C corp. Can this pierce the corporate veil when we must give the corporate return to the lender for the LLC credit applications? The answer is no. Those LLCs are separate entities, even though they all roll and file one tax return. That's not part of the veil. The veil is always going to be, do you recognize its separateness? Does it keep separate books and records? Mm-hmm. All of these things, when you pay the state, they're almost always going to defer to the state, saying, hey, state says you get these rights. You pay the state, you get those rights, which is why this, the series LLC still freaked me out a little bit. I don't know how they're going to be treated necessarily when push comes to shove. But no, you don't have to worry. And the credit applications, by the way, are not public record. That's not something someone's going to pull and get access to during a lawsuit. In fact, I would drag my heels on turning over financial. It's every time I see somebody get into a, you know, somebody sues them for a personal injury or defamation or something in their business or whatnot, and they say, give me all your financial information. Your lawyer should not be handing that over unless it's relevant to your case. And some of these guys, they'll immediately go, no, in my state, we have to do it. Yeah, I'd be fighting it.
Yeah.
I've won that plenty of times. If it's not relevant, you don't turn it over.
Yeah, there's only one reason they want that information. See how deep those pockets are.
Yeah, you're going to give over the insurance information. Of course you are. Somebody says, I will be a real estate professional this year, but I have passive losses. Are they frozen now?
Yes, they are.
It depends. So if it's
year, I know where you're going.
Right. If it's this year, the passive losses will be ordinary losses. They're no longer passive if you're a real estate professional. If they were previous for years that you were not a real estate professional, then yes, they carry forward. I understand you say they're frozen, but you no longer have passive activities in your real estate. Right.
So the, like you said, the prior year ones, stay suspended.
What are the advantages of rolling your IRA into a solo 401k? Oh my gosh, we could spend an hour on that one. I'll just give you the highlights. IRAs, you can't borrow from. IRAs need a custodian. IRAs have unrelated debt financed income. IRAs don't get the same protections as a qualified retirement plan. The solo 401k, you don't need a custodian. You can manage it yourself, which means you can write the check. So if you're doing real estate in it, it's night and day difference. You're actually the one executing the contract rather than going to your custodian, asking them to sign things and transferring money. You could write the check. You can hold physical gold. It can, like the 401ks are quite a bit different. Let's just put that. And you could borrow money up to $50,000, up to half the per asset per participant. So a husband and wife could borrow up to $100,000. The AFR rates are so low right now. They must be like 2 or 3% that you pay it back over 5 years. It can have debt and you don't have to pay tax on it, unlike an IRA. Like there's just a lot of differences. Somebody says, I'm looking to do a refinance on my owner-occupied commercial building. No cash out, just refi with rates being lowered. Chase has asked for a personal financial statement wanting all properties owned, et cetera. What is the best way to approach this? I have a holding company for my rentals. I'm just curious, how would you approach filling this out? Information given. Mike, you're going to end up giving them all of that. I've done a ton of these. They always want to look at you just because whenever you're doing loan, it's cash collateral or credibility. The collateral is the commercial building, but they want to know that you're credible too. So they're going to ask for some information on you. Since that, unless that building's been in that LLC for a long time, it's really hard to get them to let go of that. If you want a good lending company, I love Corvest. I've closed like 3 pretty large deals through there, and some of my clients have done it too. They went under 5%, and I expect that to continue to fall. That's for commercial property. That's fantastic. Do you need separate bank accounts for series LLCs in Illinois? That's a pretty specific question. What do you say?
Well, I think we've talked about where you can have the master LLC do the banking for the other entities without violating the see-through between the LLCs. Because, again, the problem with the series LLC is opening accounts, closing accounts, opening accounts, closing accounts, if you continue to have these series.
Yeah, I'm just going to write something down. You can keep going over that. A whole bunch of people just asked me for that lender name. It's Corvest. They're in New York. And if you want me to, just shoot me an email at my email. Pretend I can write. That's my name. And then at any of our websites, that's an at sign. So alglaw.com works. If you shoot that over, I'll either do a golden handshake or you just tell them that you know us. They're usually pretty easy to work with, but they generally are doing asset-based financing, more than 5 or 6 properties. Usually, I think the lowest one I've seen them do is about $1.5 million. They're usually decent-sized deals, and if not, there's some other groups who can kick you over to. Jeff, you're absolutely right. You can do the main master account. It's not a killer not to have the bank account, although it is a factor that can be used against you. So if you don't have separate bank accounts, just make sure that you have each cell documented and that you're keeping good books.
Yes.
And that'll keep you out of trouble. Somebody says, can you post your email? Here, send them my emails, tmathis@andersonadvisors or ALG Law. My scribble is just not working. They'll send it all out to you. If nothing else, it's at ALG Law. You guys are just making fun of me. You try writing on a computer. I have scribble. On a good day, it's bad. All right. Can I deduct the expenses for startup costs and education for a 501c3 that I created in 2019 as a charitable donation? Let's say you, Jeff.
Well, the startup expenses and education is either going to be the 501c3's expense or yours. And if it's yours, I'm not sure how you can deduct it.
Whenever you have a startup, they treat it as a charitable donation. So if you spend your money setting up a 501c3, you can treat that, because it's not a contribution. It's going to be a charitable donation. They let you write it off as a charitable donation. If it's going to pay you back, then you don't. So it's kind of weird. If I loan money to a charity, it's treated as a contribution. And then when they pay me back, it's treated as income. You got some weird rules. But yes, if you go through and set up startup costs and education, more than likely, if you're going to take that expense personally, and it's not, you're not being reimbursed, but you're just going to take that expense personally, it's going to be a charitable donation. So you hit it. Somebody says, did you say it was too late to file an extension? No. For an individual, you can file your extension up till April 15th, and they're giving you a 90-day holiday on having to pay your tax. So I always say, when are taxes due? And people always give me these weird answers. April 15th. And I say, well, your taxes are due on April 15th. Your tax return is due on October 15th. And if you don't pay your taxes on April 15th, they like to penalize you. It's not the end of the world, but it's good 6% interest per year, plus some penalties of interest or penalties. But it's usually about 1% a month is what you can pretty much bank on. So what about businesses? If you have an S-Corp, it was due on the 15th of March. So that's, you just missed the extension deadline. If you have a C-Corp, it's the 15th day of the fourth month following.
Correct.
So that would be April 15th. If it had a fiscal year end, if it had another year end, or excuse me.
The June year end is the only weird one, because that's actually due September 15th.
Yeah, right. They do some weird stuff. So if you have, just ask our tax folks, send it in on your Platinum, or just we'll look it up and tell you what your tax due date is. Or look at whatever the IRS sent you when you got confirmation on your EIN. They usually tell you when your tax return is due. Next one, can a realtor write off realtor fees and classes that must be taken? I know you want this one.
If you're a business, if you're in a business as a realtor, whether it's self-employed or something like that, then yes, you can certainly write off these realtor fees and the classes that you have to take. Mm-hmm. The problem is if you're working for somebody else, if you're a W-2 employee and you have these same fees and classes that you're paying for, there's no place to write them off anymore. It was considered a miscellaneous deduction or unreimbursed employee expenses. And that was eliminated in 18. So yes, if you're running a business,
So what Jeff's saying is that if you're a realtor working for somebody else and they don't reimburse you and you're an employee, you're toast. You don't get to write it off. If you have your own realtor company or an S-Corp, even a sole proprietorship, yes, you can write off your classes that are realtor classes because it's a requirement to maintain your license. Mm-hmm. Now, if you weren't a realtor and you weren't in the business of real estate and you were just coming off the street and you decided to take realtor classes, chances are that wouldn't be deductible because it's preparing you for a new trade or business, right?
Correct.
So we love this stuff. In California, all of my assets are in my solo 401k. Are they protected by ERISA or are they at risk? ERISA is when you have other employees. What I would do is make a contribution for somebody else in your 401k if you really want to get the ERISA protection. but you're not horribly at risk, Jay. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about it unless you have something that's coming down the pike. It's just adding another participant, and I could actually take an employee, give them money, make the contribution myself on their behalf, or roll a IRA, give somebody money, put $500 in an IRA, roll it into my plan, and now I have two or more that would qualify me for ERISA. So I could do that. A lot of people are still asking about CoreVest. We will send you that information. Judith, ask your question away, and I'll see if I can answer it. When you send in questions, it might be a week or two before we talk about it. We will get back to you, though. So if you sent a question this week, our folks will absolutely reach out to you. Does a Roth IRA have the same drawbacks you listed in comparison with a solo 401k? Yes. Can a Roth IRA be a solo 401k? No. You could have a Roth solo 401k. Once you get it into the IRA, though, then you just know this. Please don't borrow. You can't get debt in that IRA without having to worry about unrelated business income tax. Unrelated debt finance income tax. And it can't loan you money. We already said this. A lot of people ask about that company, CoreVest. They should buy me a donut or something. Regarding the comment, too many entities with the same address. I have multiple LLCs that use the same PO box. I'm a platinum member. At what point must the physical address be used? Okay, so Jay, the physical address is for the state. The physical address that you're looking at for an LLC, you don't want to just have an RA asset address that's like a PO box or a UPS box. That's never going to be sufficient. They're almost always going to want a physical address. So that's one of the services we provide at $695 a year. It's the corporate assistance program too, but it's really straightforward. It provides you with a physical address for all of your entities, and we do the minutes for you to make sure that we're keeping a good nexus with those other states. I am filing a C-Corp with multiple LLCs since I'm doing business under just one LLC. I plan to close the C-Corp, continue paying taxes on this. Oh, is that okay to do? So if you have a C-Corp that has an LLC and you want to close the C-Corp, you gotta give homes, you know, designations for those LLCs. If they're disregarded, it's going to flow to you. You'd need to make, I think it's an 8832 to make the change of election, mm-hmm. right? To make it a corporation. All right, let's jump to the next written question. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sitting here having a smorgasbord of all these questions. I can see them. Jeff is too far away. He can't read all these, and they're small, so it's fun. How do you record the money due between companies on the company's books?
And that's fairly simple. I'm assuming you have company A has a set of books, company B has a set of books. Company A loans $1,000 to company B. Well, that would come in as a debit to cash on company B's books. And the other side of that entry would be due to company A for $1,000.
Yep.
And the reverse would be true of the company that lent the money. Company A would put the reverse in. They would take $1,000 out of cash, and they would now be owed $1,000 by company B.
Do they have to charge interest?
Not necessarily. The IRS usually doesn't prescribe interest between related parties until the amount owed exceeds 10 grand.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, what if company B is a personal account? It's not a company, unless it's a company B is a sole proprietorship.
So it would either be a loan from or to the shareholder or partner or whoever it may be.
You'd still document it. Somebody says, is there a coupon code for the purchase of Toby's TaxWise business ownership book? No, not right now. I think we gave you guys, like, unfortunately, when we first sent it out to the for final edit, we thought it would be done in November. Here we are rolling a few months later. I think we had a special, but until I actually have it in my hot hands, we're not going to do any coupons on that one.
We're letting the excitement build.
Yeah. Right. Somebody was asking about, what if I want to move a LLC from Nevada to Wyoming? Can I do that? Yeah. You have a conversion. It's about $100. It's cheaper than keeping it just in Nevada. And you guys know us. We used to just love Nevada when it was $25 business license. Now it's, mm-hmm. they jacked up the filing fees and the business license is couple $100 a year, and Wyoming's done the opposite. So we tend to use Wyoming now, but we could do either state just as easy. Is it really true that UBIT applies to stock margin trading performed in a solo 401k? Bartels Trust versus U.S. I'd have to look at that, Craig.
I could see that being counted as UDIF, but not UBIT.
Yeah, that would be unrelated debt finance income. Usually on real estate, it's not. But I think if you have a stock margin, that it's going to say that you're making money on stock. Would they treat the real estate differently than the stock?
Not sure.
I'm going to save that and look at that because that's kind of funky. Let me see if I can grab that. I'll just have to mark it down for myself. It looks like Bartels. That sounds like it's a Washington case. Craig, I'll see if I can get that. You can email that over to me, too. We'll take a look. There may be a difference. So it wouldn't be if it was for real estate, but it might be for when you're doing margin in a stock account. I do remember something in the recesses of my brain. Okay. All right. You have two LLCs and a parent LLC taxes a C-Corp that owns them. So you have disregarded LLCs owned by an LLC that is taxed as a C-Corp. How do I roll up the income expenses for each LLC to the 1120?
What you're basically doing, I'm going to give you the quite easy answer, is you're going to have a trial balance or a set of accounts for each set of books. And what you're actually going to do is just add them all together for purposes of your 1120. The disregarded LLCs do not show up anywhere on the 1120. Everything's combined.
Mm-hmm. Would you do that as, like, when you do the books, would you just do the LLCs as classes?
I probably would. If I'm doing it in QuickBooks, I would have classified income statement so I can much easier combine things. And there may be a few things like money owed between the LLCs and the C-Corp, things of that nature, which should just eliminate each other.
Yeah. Okay, so like just because we're annoying, the UBIT applies to margin trading accounts. So it's not UDFI, it would be UBIT. And yeah, the Bartels case isn't, it looks like they're saying, this is what's weird is whatever you're dealing with 401ks, you're it's the same thing that you're dealing with when you're looking at 501c3. So when you have passive options in the stock market, UBIT doesn't apply. But if you start doing it like a business, then they say, and so when you do the margin account, they're going to treat you like a regular.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with that. It's borrowed money. That's they're saying you've become a business.
Yeah. So the Court of Appeals, which is the Bartels Trust case, Federal Circuit asserted that even though the trust was not engaged in a business, the income from the securities bought on margin would still be subject to UBIT. And it says the rules are the same regardless if you invest in a traditional alternative plan. So that's the easiest way to look at it is that UBIT applies to any exempt organization, IRA, 501c3, 401k, solo 401k, and UDFI is something that is just for IRAs and the different sections. All right, let's keep jumping on. And I bet you I have like six accountants are going to hit me with that too. In there, get some good chatter back and forth with some of those professionals out there, along with the guy right next to me.
You see, that's good.
All right. If I hire a property management company to collect funds from my tenants and they disperse the rents to me, are they required to send me a 1099?
So when you fill out your W-9, which is what authorizes them to pay you, you should actually be listing. You're going to be required to list the name of the LLC and the name of the owner of the LLC if it's a disregarded entity. So if it's disregarded to you, then yes, you're probably going to be getting 1099s in your name for those rents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm always getting a 1099. And so what they're going to do is they're going to give you the 1099 minus they're going to break out the repairs and the management fees, et cetera.
And in recent years, IRS has really made a big push to uncover who actually reports the income and expenses on these disregarded entities. As Toby said before, it's still not public information, but they want to know who the ultimate owners of these disregarded LLCs are so they know where to expect to see the income and expenses flow to.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
I like really good questions. This is a good question. We recently rolled over one half of our solo 401k to an IRA. We want to use all the money for real estate investing. After hearing your thoughts, was this not a good idea? Can we buy real estate with our IRA without issues? You can buy without issues if you don't use debt. You can buy the real estate in an IRA, no problem, but you have to use the custodian. They have to sign off. So depending on the type of investment you do, like if I go in a weekend and I'm trying to buy a piece of property that's heavily sought after, which right now, good pieces of, like, this is a hot market. Even with all the craziness going on, there's still a hot market out there. I don't want to say, oh, hey, I'll ask my custodian to sign the offer letter on Monday, and then they have 48 hours, so they might do it on Wednesday. I know there's a few that have some apps that allow you to do it quick. Just nix that. Write it in the 401k. I don't need the IRA. The only reason that you'd keep that IRA is if it's a Roth. But if it's a traditional, roll it back in the 401k. I have all my accounts grouped in. If I have, like, if it's husband and wife, if it's an IRA, I'm probably setting up an LLC that's going to be a partnership owned by the two IRAs. If it's just in a 401k, I'm either going to set up a disregarded LLC that doesn't have to file a tax return in the 401k to go buy the property, or I'm just going to put the offer in that, make sure that I close it in the 401k, and then set up the LLC when we're closing. Here's another one. In January, I turned a home into a rental. I now have a C-Corp and LLC. Oh, I want to make sure. This is going to be too long and too specific. I'll have to answer that. So Judith, email in that question. What if we forgot to 1099 someone? Jeff, what would you do? Just send them a 1099?
I would send them a 1099, especially if it's a third party.
Technically, it's not due to the end of the month, right? Until March?
It's due to now. The not for non-employee compensations, they're now all due January 31st.
Mm-hmm. So he says, can a solo 401k purchase property? It depends on the plan documents. Yes, it can. Absolutely. Unless you do like a 401k through a stock company that only says you can buy securities. But yeah, there's no prohibition. We do it all the time. If the LLC is disregarded to a partnership LLC like a Wyoming holding, should I be getting the 1099? And I'm assuming that's on the collecting the management company. Yes, you should still be getting a 1099. Can you own property in LLC and still take advantage of principal residence exclusion if you live there and otherwise satisfy all the requirements? Yeah, if you have an LLC that is disregarded for tax purposes, yes, then you still get the personal residence exemption under 121. It's 26 USC 121. That's the $250,000 for an individual or $500,000 capital gain exclusion. Let's keep jumping on. I know we were a little bit over. Can independent contractors have the same deductions as an LLC, or is it better to create an entity? I'm a fitness trainer. This is all about you.
I'm not sure what deductions an LLC get.
They don't. LLCs don't exist to the IRS. Just remember, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory mumbling. Every time somebody says LLC to the IRS, they go, I didn't hear that. No, LLC. What? LLC, mumbling. We don't know what you're saying. You need to tell us what it is. And you have some different flavors. Hey, it's a sole proprietorship. If you're a fitness trainer, you still get the same deductions. An independent contractor is a fancy way of saying you are not an employee. So your company can be either disregarded, in which would go onto your Schedule C as a sole proprietor. And if you're making less than $30,000, you're probably okay in there. You're leaving a little bit of money on the table, but it's not horrific. If you're making over $30,000, you're probably going to want to tax that LLC as an S-Corp.
Right. I agree.
It's going to start saving you money. You get to do a accountable plan. It's going to put you're going to write off most of it. So there's just so many ways to get money out of a corporation, taxed as a corporation, LLC taxed as an S-Corp. Or LLC taxes a C-Corp. Right. Do contract labor and whole materials such as cabinets, vanity, lighting, tile go into cost of goods sold on a Form 1065?
Well, if we're flipping property, the answer is yes. Any cost going into that property that you're going to turn around and sell is going to be cost of goods sold. If this is an investment property, the answer is maybe, depending on how much it is, what type of materials are going in. We might be able to expense some of them. We might be able to depreciate some of them.
But it wouldn't be necessarily cost of goods sold. Like this looks like it's a flip.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just going into the basis of it.
Correct.
So if I'm doing cost of goods sold, it's usually I'm selling cabinets and vanity and lighting and tile as a company. Like I'm a retailer and I have this inventory and then I'm selling it and I have cost of goods sold on my 1065. Is that right?
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, so I don't know. Whenever I see the real estate stuff and I see COGS, I'm like, that's not really.
Right? Where am I? We call it cost of goods sold, but
when you're adding it to the basis?
Yes. So when they sell that property, their basis and everything they put into
it. Would you report it as cost of goods sold or would you report it as basis?
We would report it as cost of goods sold because it goes in as ordinary income for that business.
That's what you're saying. So if they're flipping?
So if they're flipping, they would have gross sales or whatever they sell for.
If I'm doing a buy and hold,
You're doing a buy and hold, no, it would not. Whole different circumstances.
So there it is. That's why you have the CPA. So sometimes the rest of us are out to lunch. You're treating it as COGS on a flip.
Correct.
So in a flip is a fancy way of saying I'm buying it to sell it. I'm buying real estate to sell the real estate. And it doesn't matter how long you own it. You can have a flip in 10 years. If I'm buying the property to hold it for long term, then I can get long term capital gains, but I don't have cost of goods sold. I'm going to have that added into my basis. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I haven't really thought that hard on that one. So that's a surprising answer. That's cool. If I sell a house for profit, can I put that profit into another rental without paying taxes?
You can if you do a 1031 exchange, which means you need a qualified intermediary in between your sell and your buy. And this QI, the qualified intermediary, is going to actually be the person selling your property. Mm-hmm. And will also be the person buying the property. So to avoid taxes in a 1031 scenario, you can't touch the cash. Mm-hmm. And that's really key to this.
Yeah, so there's some interesting things. Whenever you say for a profit, the profit's really not a big thing for us. We're looking at the gain. In other words, is there something on it that is going to be gain? And then also we have the depreciation recapture if we depreciated. So I have a house that I've held for a while and I'm selling it and I made money on it. I'm going to have depreciation recapture and I'm going to potentially have long-term capital gains. Can I put that into another rental without paying taxes? Just like Jeff said, on both accounts, on depreciation recapture and long-term capital gains, you can roll it via something called a 1031 exchange, which is only for real estate. You can also do qualified opportunity zones if you're going to put that in and you're going to defer it. You're not going to pay taxes. You're going to defer it right now at 6 years. If you sell a personal house, like let's say that I had a house that I lived in for 10 years, I rented it for two, and then I sell it and I make a big gain, I can offset the capital gains only under 121. For up to $500,000, married filing jointly, mm-hmm. The depreciation, I'd still have to recapture it. My ordinary income capped at 25%. Is there anything else? Any other?
Well, the one thing I think about is people who want to do a 1031 exchange when that is not the best strategy. They have large carryover capital losses or they're in a low bracket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a case where we want to figure out if we want to do this or not, or just treat it as a sale.
Yeah, we have to take a look at it. It's good to depend on what type of property. Also, if I sold a house for a profit and I've owned it for 2 months and I fixed it up and sell it, that's ordinary income. How do I defer that? Well, I'm going to want to offset it with other income, other expenses.
Right.
Maybe I'm putting in a 401k to avoid. Yep. Maybe I'm expensing it out. Yeah, there's ways to avoid the tax.
So, yeah, if you're flipping a house, you cannot... You're going to pay taxes on any profit.
Who would facilitate a 1031 exchange? So, Mina, there's some really good folks out there. There's a bunch of 1031 exchange companies, but it's called a 1031 intermediary. And, technically, it's a qualified intermediary. That's all they do generally.
So if you look up 1031, you'll get a dozen ads. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yep. And if you want somebody specific, email me. I have some good ones. That one gal out of Idaho that's fantastic that has worked some really complicated transactions and does a good job. Somebody says, resident alien in USA with a H-1B visa what company structure is advisable for real estate. If you're here, you're probably doing an LLC, and it's going to be disregarded or taxed as a partnership, depending on how many owners. You do not, generally speaking, if you're not going to be in the United States, you don't want to do an S corp. You, as a non-U.S. citizen who lives here as a resident, you can actually own an S corp. Yep. Interest, but the second you leave, you just disqualified it. So,
yeah, a resident alien is going to be treated the same way for tax purposes as a U.S. citizen.
Yep, and you're going to file a
1040.
Yep, and even if you lived out of the country, you're going to file a 1040 NR, non-resident. Like, we still tax you here, and then hopefully you get a tax credit overseas where you might reside. Somebody says, can the solo 401k purchase real estate? Yes, it can. Somebody says, well, what about we set up a 401k with a Schwab account? That Schwab saying, hey, you can't buy it in our account, your 401k can still own it. So the money can come from Schwab. It's just Schwab's not going to hold title. Is it possible to roll over a Roth to a solo 401k? No. A Roth IRA back to a solo 401k? No, you're not allowed to do that. It can go Roth solo to a Roth IRA, but not the other way around. Can I lend 50% of my deemed Roth IRA sponsored QRP to my LLC, not the sponsoring one, or to myself? Oh, yeah. So my Roth IRA sponsored by my, I don't understand that.
I would say if it's going to your LLC, the answer is going to be no.
No, it has to be the individual participant, and it's only if it's the Roth QRP, the 401k Roth. So yeah, the Roth IRA never can loan you money. But if you need money and you put the money in there and you kept it in there for 5 years, you can take it out. And whatever you put into a Roth IRA, it's what I tell kids to use it as their savings account. If you have to take it out, there's no penalty in taking the money that you put into the Roth IRA out, because you paid tax on it already. The only money you ever have to worry about paying a penalty on is the growth in the Roth IRA. So if I put in $50,000 over the years into a Roth IRA, and I'm in a bind because there's a pandemic going on and I need cash, I'm taking money out of my Roth, and I don't have to pay tax on it if it's the $50,000. If that $50,000 became $75,000 and I touched the $25,000 again, then I have to worry about it. But anyway, can you deduct education, travel, business expenses if your entity is an LLC taxed as an S or simply disregarded? Tax, travel, business, research. On all of those, you'd be able to write them off, whether it's an S or a sole proprietor. You know, the only question is the educational expense when it was incurred, whether it would be needed to be treated as a startup, and then the type of business. So the answer could be no, depending. If the LLC owns a property, can you also do a 1031 exchange to avoid paying taxes? Yes, it has to go name to name. So it has to be LLC. It has to be go from LLC to LLC. We have a bunch of stuff on ROBs. Some people are, okay, I have a C-Corp 401k from a ROBs transaction. If you guys don't know what that is, that's a rollover business startup. So rollover as a business startup. And that is when you set up a C-Corp and your 401k and you basically partner together on it. You're allowed to do that as long as you're doing it just on the initial setup. If I'm using those funds as a down payment for an SBA loan, who is the guarantor for the loan? So far, my husband and I have signed, though does the custodian need to sign? No. Generally not, unless they're going to require that it become a guarantor and they want to be able to get into your 401k. But usually your 401k just dumped all of its money into the C-Corp. So what issues or audits do you see for people claiming real estate professional status and taxes? There's huge benefits, and I'm not seeing audits on them. So have you seen any audits on them? No. So what you're saying is that I'm documenting and I'm meeting the requirements of 469C7. So it's the exception to real estate losses being passive. And they have the right to audit you and check it, but we're not seeing it triggering any.
Yeah, the two keys are aggregating your rental or your properties.
Yep.
And documenting your IRs. And you should be fine.
Somebody is asking a question. How do I tell if my entity setup is an S or a C corp? You look at your EIN. And if you're an S corp, you filed something called a 2553. There would actually be a confirmation letter from the IRS saying we are in receipt and you have been granted S corp status. Otherwise, you're C corp. Let's see. How do I file a tax return for a married couple with children dependents if one spouse is not a citizen and does not have an SSN or ITIN? John, you're going to do your ITIN application when you file your tax return. So yeah. You just attach to the return and they'll assign a individual tax identification number for your non-citizen spouse.
So yeah, this is a case where you may actually have to file separately. So you would file 1040 and she would file 1040 NR.
Yep. And then she would request when they file the return, they'd request the ITIN. They'd give her an ITIN.
Yeah, so you could request ITIN with the 1040 NR.
Yeah, it's hard to get the ITIN without. Somebody asked about health reimbursement. I'm going to go and I'm going to find that, Carol, before we're gone. And where is it? I'm looking. Carol, I have individual health insurance and I'm the only officer in my C-Corp. Do you have to have the C-Corp reimburse my premium payments? Yes. If you have individual health insurance, you would reimburse yourself under the C-Corp. Absolutely. Anything that came out of pocket that is not being covered somewhere else. Somebody, I didn't get this one. If we own rentals in other states, but those properties are being managed by a management company in those states, do we have to foreign file in every state? No. Usually, if you own the property, you're going to own it in an LLC in that particular state. If you have an out-of-state entity that owns the property, then technically you would be required, if you're renting it, to register it, regardless of who manages it. It's the rental income that triggers the filing. So I would file that as a foreign file, but it has nothing to do with the management company. It has to do with the activity. Let's see. That was it on those. Anyway, going back to this, somebody is looking. Somebody says, I gave a $500 finder's fee to somebody who found a property. Me, I have a C-Corp. Is it tax deductible? Yes. Hey, will somebody get some ebooks out to these folks for the tax-wise? Clarification for travel education expenses. I'm confused which expenses are permissible by C-Corp versus an LLC. So do not worry, because an LLC is not taxed. It is, you have to tell it what it is. So they're identical for C-Corp or an LLC taxes as C-Corp. But you can always talk to somebody in our firm. We're more than happy to help you and clarify anything. Do I have to set up a special structure in the C-Corp to reimburse health premiums? No, you just have to have a medical reimbursement plan or a 105 plan. If Anderson set you up, we already did it. If we did not, then we have those documents. And if you're Platinum, we're happy to give them to you. Platinum is a whopping $35 a month. Let's jump into social media. Feel free to follow us and join us. There's so much stuff going on out there. I know I don't want to put more. And somebody's asking about the TaxWise book. I'm so bad. Any day now, it's going to be in the warehouse. We'll give you the electronic copy, but we're going to ship them out as soon as we get them. We had a wonderful printer that we've been using, Bookmasters, for over 20 years, and they broke their big piece of equipment that puts all the bindings together. So these are hardbound books. This is a huge printer, and we just stuck with them, and it took them a little bit to fix it. So we're a little delayed. Everything that could delay that thing seemed to go on, but we'll get that out to you, and I'll try to make it up to you and give you guys some cool stuff here in the future. Do you have to fill out a 1099? Not for $500. It's only if you pay it more than $600. Okay, I do not have an electronic, so Sherry will get you the electronic version. Everybody is entitled to the electronic version. If you want it, we'll send it out to you so you can read it. Hey, go on to our social media, follow us, and then ask questions. If you ask questions, a lot of folks are answering those questions. We grab the ones from Tax Tuesday Anderson Advisors, and we make them part of these podcasts or these shows, the Tax Tuesdays. It's always kind of fun. Somebody's asking about choosing a trust state of residency. You got 50 flavors, so you're always looking. A lot of people just automatically go straight to their own state. We don't. I'm kind of looking and saying what's the length of time that they're automatically honored. So, for example, Nevada has a 365-year rule of perpetuities versus some states where it's 21 years. So if you want to have a long legacy trust, you're going to want to do it in a different state. Nevada is my favorite, personally, not just because I live here, but that's why we came here. So anyway, so there's your questions. Somebody, lots of other things, setting on where do we follow on Facebook. You just log on to Facebook and you'll like us. And that's it. We're at 4:30, so we're only half an hour.
Yeah, right on time.
See, we're getting good at not going an hour over anymore. So that's because I have no
idea. You can't get me to shut up, right?
Damien, Jeff, you're just such a chatty Cathy. All right, guys, be safe out there. Be kind to your fellow human beings. Don't buy a million rolls of toilet paper. I always think of my mom. She's 80-some years old, going to the store, needing something if she was sick, and it all being gone. So like, you don't have to buy everything that's not nailed down. We don't need to hoard everything. It's being prepared and being kind to your neighbor. And if you see somebody who's having trouble, especially our older communities, a lot of them are scared because there's so much stuff out in the media. Drop off something for them. Give your mom a call. Do all that stuff. Make sure that you're reaching out to people. Some of these folks are in areas that are hunkered down. So whatever we can do to help each other. Somebody says you wash stuff off. And as always, that's horrible. My mom said to use corn cobs. So when she was growing up, that's what
right.
She used it for. You're learning all sorts of weird stuff of what people use. Hey, when I used to climb mountains, you had to use a little blue bag and you actually had to get it in the, anyway, because you had to pack it off the mountain.
Well, I know.
So anyway, so until next time, you guys all be good. Love all the community and all their comments and everything you guys are doing. So that's all obviously really, really cool. We'll stay up on what's been going on with the Senate. And as soon as we hear some things, we'll be reaching out too. So hope all you guys stay safe and that hopefully nobody's affected physically by this virus. And that hopefully we get out of this thing with a little bit of an economy left when it's all said and done. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.